And a good Thursday evening, everyone, live from Baker's Water Street Grill in downtown Toms River. It is the Investors Bank High School Football Show as we get you set for another weekend of Shore Conference football action. Looks like the first weekend that weather will be a factor, a significant factor maybe in some cases, especially tomorrow night. Kevin Williams and Ed Sarluka, we have given Mr. Harmon the night off to go out to dinner with his wife, so gave him a little break tonight.
He's got a better contract than I do, that's for sure.
Well, he's got a contract. You don't have one. You're week,
week to week.
You're week to week. You're week to week for sure. Tom Tremblay, of course, here making sure everything works well. Ray Malaspina back at the studios of 105.7 The Hawk. Scott Stump, normally always a guest, but normally joining us via the telephone, is hanging out and will be on with us tonight as well. So looking forward to that. And we have got a heavy hitters lineup tonight. In a few minutes, we'll talk Barnegat Bengals football with head coach Rob Davis and his outstanding two-way senior, Greg Moran. Later in the opening hour, we'll go to the Manalapan Braves. Some will argue every bit as legitimate as top one or two teams in the Shore as anyone else. Their head coach, Ed Guerrieri, and their outstanding senior wide receiver, Saeed Blacknell, who's already verbally committed to Rutgers University. Of course, Scott will join us. We'll get his thoughts on what's coming up this weekend more than anything else. Monmouth University head coach Kevin Callahan on his red-hot Hawks, who've won three in a row. And then a little bit later on in a segment that I'm kind of looking forward to, we will have on Southern Regional's highly recruited receiver Mike Gizicki and his dad, Mike Sr., and we'll just talk about the entire recruiting process. We'll do a little bit of that with Saeed as well, but in Mike's case, because it's gone the distance almost, the entire process of, you know, visiting schools, what it's been like on him, what it's been like on the family, as he sort of comes to the end of that process. We'll be visiting Penn State this weekend for the Penn State-Michigan game. That's his last visit. And we'll be making a decision within the next couple of weeks if what he believes will happen will happen. So that's what we've got coming up for you tonight. Should be fun. And Anna, I think we do have to touch on the weather, and it has already resulted in a casualty a bit. But the game we were going to broadcast tomorrow night, Wall Hat Brick, has been postponed till Saturday. And not only have they moved it to Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock, but it will not be at Keller Memorial Field, but on the turf at the Drum Point Sports Complex. So we will actually not have a game this Friday night because of that. And as far as I know, that at this point was the only postponement. Kind of a strange day weather-wise. I think some of us thought it started out pouring in some places. Then it was a big let-up and then a lot of rain late. They're saying some areas in Ocean County, when it's all said and done, could get 4 to 5 inches. Tomorrow looks not real good. It will get better as the weekend goes on.
Well, you know it's a serious storm in Northeastern when at a sports bar, as we are at right now, a couple TVs have the weather channel on. So it's an important factor. And yeah, Unfortunately, I was looking forward to that Wall at Brick game, and they're going to play that, as you said, at the Drum Point Pop Warner Complex, located on Hooper Avenue at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Tentatively set for then. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. But as you said, the only game so far canceled. But right. Interesting that you mentioned, Kevin, about those Division I prospects, Quentin Nelson, Saeed Blacknell, and Mike Gizicki. Two have verbally committed. Mike reserving his decision till almost the end of the season. Interesting the contrast there, to talk to those two guys tonight to see why and why,
right,
on both sides of the fence.
By the way, all three of those guys were pictured on the cover of the All Shore Media football preview issue, and certainly nothing has happened that those three have not lived up to the expectations and are among the most highly recruited players we've had here at the Shore in recent years. Ed, we go back to last week, week four, and of course the game that we spent a lot of time talking about in anticipation, Manalapan and Middletown South, and we don't want to really get into it too much because we'll have the Braves on a little bit later in this hour, but clearly Manalapan just establishing, reiterating its dominance of Class A North.
Yeah, that game fairly close at halftime, one touchdown game, and then the Braves exerted themselves on defense, shut out Middletown South, holding them to just a few yards in the second half. And, you know, big hurdle for Manalapan to, go undefeated and get to those playoffs undefeated and get some home games before they probably travel to Rutgers to play a final again and get to the finish line, which I think it's a good chance they do this
year. Now, obviously, beating Middletown South was a hurdle, but it's not the finish line because still to come later in the season is Colts Neck. The Cougars rolling over Middletown North 42-0. Greg LaCava's team, from a numbers standpoint, you just couldn't be any better. They're 4-0. They've scored 174 points, and they've given up zero. And clearly the schedule is back-ended. They'll have their two big games at the end of the season or coming up in a couple weeks, Middletown South and then Manalapan. But this Colts Neck team is a very good football team.
Well, it was a fairly young team. They did have some veterans back, but they lost their Campbell, their quarterback, last year. So these kids have gotten experience, 4 or 5 games, until they play the Manalapans and the Middletown Souths, and that's only going to help them, and I think it already has. And you can't argue with numbers like that, 174-0, defensive coordinator's dream. And, they're sort of been under the radar. They play on their home games on Saturday afternoon. They've got the old grass field, no lights on their field. So going to be interesting to see how they could fare against the two top teams.
And they are among a dozen teams who have byes this weekend. This is, I guess if the bad weather was going to come, this was a good weekend because 12 of the 43, I believe, right? 43 Shore Conference football playing schools have byes. Should have been 14. Jackson and Manalapan were supposed to play in week one. That game moved to, because of lightning at that time and bad weather, moved to when they both had the off week. But this is a big off week. A lot of the top teams have this weekend off. Just real quick as we look back last weekend, Ed, the game we did on 105.7 The Hawk, Lacey rallied in the second half behind backup quarterback Connor Davies, although calling him a backup is kind of interesting, for a 32-24 win over a Toms River South team that is has made a habit of fast starts and slow finishes.
Yes, South just can't get over the hump in that second half. They've had some lousy second halves. Could it be that the two-way players get a little bit fatigued in that second half? I don't think the Indian coaches will tell you that. They work them hard during the week. But they've got to get over that hurdle and have a big second half in one of these, tough football games to prove that they are a playoff team. Because I think right now, with two losses in the A-South, they could ill afford another loss. But they probably will make the playoffs in South Jersey.
Well, we'll see, because really at 2-2, they're a little bit of a disappointment right now, and I think the consensus is a bit of an underachieving team right now for the expectations that were played. A team that's overachieving on what was predicted for them, Brick, a hard-fought 13-7 win at Southern last week to improve to 3-1, most importantly 3-0 in Class A South, and a major factor in the division race.
Oh, I totally agree. The surprise team of the year, I would think. Of course, Carmen Scalfani coming over from Toms River North has meant the world to that football program. But they had some other good football programs in that program. And, remember, in defense of the Indians, they have lost to two undefeated. Oh, I shouldn't say that. They lost to Brick undefeated in the conference.
Right.
But Brick does have a loss, losing to Middletown South in a game that they were very in the game till the very end. But Lacey, of course, undefeated also, and that was a 32-24 victory last week for the Lions in a game in which they lost their starting quarterback early in that contest. Drawing a blank right now. Tommy Kelly, who had a head injury on a helmet-to-helmet tackle in which the Indians were penalized for, but it was,
no intent. There was no intent.
No intentional factor, even though the penalty was thrown. And then, I don't think it's a secret, but Tommy was cleared this week, but they will hold him out because of state rules until next week. They have Manchester this week and then play next week another big football game. So they will hold him out 1 week.
Just
and
a couple
Connor
of
Davies will start in his place.
And he was brilliant last week,
yes,
and was our player of the game. Just a couple of others. Long Branch with an impressive 28-3 win over Wall, handing their Crimson Knights their first loss of the season. Neptune 23-13 over Mattawan. Good win for the Scarlet Flyers. Of course, Red Bank Catholic, the overwhelming number one on the shore, a roll past Raritan 63-7, as their numbers they put up every week are insane. And a little love in Class B Central for Point Beach, who burst the modern-day prep bubble a little bit. The Garnet goals of Coach John Wagner, who had struggled in offense, played good defense, but they put it all together last week. 450 yards of offense and beat the Seraphs 40-14, handing modern-day their first loss of the season.
Yeah, that was predicted by, I think, all of us on the panel. And, you know, John Wagner, one of the outstanding coaches in the shore area, especially Ocean County. He's bucking for another shot on our show on a Thursday night, one of these weeks coming down the line, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about it. Well, outstanding young coaches certainly would fit the bill for the guy that is part of our next segment as we talk about the Barnegat Bengals, who are off to a high-flying 4-0 start. Robbie Davis in his eighth season, hard to believe it's been that long, but he's the guy that created the program, the first and only coach in Barnegat history, and he's making a little history with this year's squad off to that 4-0 start. And he is joined tonight by really one of his real leaders and the cornerstones of his program, a senior by the name of Greg Moran, who is an offensive guard, and then on defense was an all-division linebacker last year. But as you sometimes do, you put players where you need them, and this season, Barnegat moved him to the defensive end, and he's been a real contributor and a key cog in this 4-0 start. So, Robbie and Greg, first of all, thanks for coming down on a wicked Thursday night, and good week for you to get you here because you have a bye this week. You're one of those 12 teams with the week off. So I'll start by saying the bye for you comes almost right in the middle. If you could pick it, is this where you'd like it to be?
Yeah. Thanks for having us, guys. It's a great time for us. You know, we're on a little bit of a roll, but we're trying to, you know, kind of make sure we get all our injuries, our nicks and knacks, and make sure that we take care of our stuff from within so we're ready to play a real tough team next Friday at our place, Central.
Greg, you know, featured in the preview, you know, coach raves about you, captain of the team. It's not often. It's usually the quarterbacks and the running backs that get their pictures in the paper, okay? How does it feel for you, one of the hogs up front, to be the leader of this football team and have so much weight on your shoulders?
He didn't insult you by calling you a hog.
You know what I mean.
I want to know right off the bat.
Well, you know, as a captain on the team, I just like to go out every week, play good football. So I just try to get the guys going every single week. I do nothing else than every other captain on the team, quarterback as well. So I just go out there and try to get the guys pumped up.
You know, how special was it for both of you over the summer to win the 7-on-7 competition overall in the shore before the All-Star game? I thought that was a big stepping stone for your program.
It was. Then we kind of put things in perspective a little bit. You know, it's two-hand touch. We knew our linemen were going to be our best part of our team, so we were excited that our skill kids, which were pretty young last year, you know, got a little better. And, you know, so it put a little bit of excitement into our first practice in August.
You had success almost right off the bat at Barney. And when I say success, I don't mean win championships, but, you know, you never went through an 0-9. You know, you won fairly quickly and I think established a program very early in a program, which some will consider unusual. Did that raise the expectation bar earlier than it might have been normal for a new program?
Yeah, of course. We started winning early. That first class that we had, I moved up every level with them. Had great parent support there. The kids were very good athletes, and we kind of caught group one by surprise by making the playoffs. Got hit with a couple injuries the second year, which we lost by, I think, 2 power points. And, you know, that's where we're kind of, like, bummed out by the years we didn't make the playoffs because we thought some of our better teams were the teams that didn't make the playoffs there. But, the expectations were rose a little high, which there's nothing wrong with that.
And certainly coming into this year, I think the bar has been raised higher than ever before. A lot of veteran players back. Yeah. You had a couple of highly touted transfers last year who joined your program, but were not with you right away, so they sort of had to get the work into the mix, and a couple of guys hurt. But really coming into this year, I think the expectation around the shore and certainly from Coach Sarluka, was this is Barnegat's year really to shine.
Well, expectations are high because the kids are demanding it. And, you know, the kids are going after it. We gave the kids off Tuesday, Wednesday, and our captain said, no, we're going to condition and lift and all that. They're really going after it. So I'm really excited about how they're going after it, not just saying what they want to do. We're going after it.
Greg, your offensive line, and I don't care at how many stars you have in the backfield or at wide receiver, teams win with offensive football up front. And your line is one of the best in the shore. How does it feel to be one of the little guys up there?
Well, I mention
some of those guys.
Well, we got big left tackle Zach Andrews playing next to Xavier Young, Tom Campbell playing center. I'm the right guard. Sam Madden's playing the right tackle. And then we got the tight ends, Kenyatta Swift and Kyle Morris. You know, being a little guy, I don't feel like a little guy out there, you know. I feel like I'm the old guy out there, you know, trying to tell everyone what to do. I give everyone a little pointers once in a while.
What do you weigh?
I weigh like 210.
210. And Madden, who's next to you on the right side. Now, you're what? How tall are you?
Me, I'm 5'10", 210.
5'10", 210. What are his numbers?
6'7", 340 maybe.
Is that about right?
Maybe a little less now.
It sounds a lot different when, you know, but when I'm standing next to him, you know, I just know he's a guy on my team. He's not trying to hurt me, so it doesn't matter.
And Andrews is about 6'2", 310, right? So, yep. I mean, you got a couple of 300-pounders. That's a college-type line.
Yes, it is. But when you're all playing together, we work hard every day as a team. You don't feel left out when I'm a little guy.
You know, the ironic thing, Rob, is that you win the 7-on-7 over the summer, so everybody expects Barney to come out flinging the football up and down the field. And what do? The first few games, you run the ball down the throat of everybody.
Yeah. No, you're right. But we didn't go in there just saying we were going to run the ball, but we kind of – That's our strength, and we're going to play off it. And, you know, we threw the ball a little bit last week.
Yeah.
So we proved
300 yards worth.
Yeah. Said we could throw the ball and run the ball, and you know, our offense is clicking right now.
You know, I mentioned transfers. Sam Madden, who Greg talked about, was one of those young men who had was with you, I think, went to Holy Spirit, then came back and had to sit out a little bit. And, you know, obviously he's a junior, and he is being recruited by everybody and anybody. You know, it's incredible. You know, you've shared with us, but basically he is going to have his pick of the litter. The other guy who was maybe more highly touted because of the position was your quarterback, Sinjin Erskine, who I think probably all of us put a little too much pressure on last year because we had heard about him. We had seen him a little bit. He's got the look of a outstanding quarterback. And maybe at times his numbers weren't as great last year, but you had defended him saying, hey, he's still learning to mesh with everyone. What Coach talked about the first couple of games this year, you ran the ball. But last week, was it intentional just to kind of let the passing game going, or did the game dictate that?
Game dictated. He's a great kid. His best stuff is what you don't see on the field, leadership. You know, he works at it in the film. He takes accountability for when he does throw an interception. So he's going after it. We have great kids around him. We do. We have some outstanding kids that we rotate in on receiver and defensive backs that probably demand more time. So we got good chemistry around him, too, and that makes everything a little easier.
You know, my wife, who taught school in Barnegat for 36 years, had Sinjin in school in second grade, and to this day she still talks about Sinjin and what a nice kid he was in second grade. I think that just carried on right through, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good kid.
I mean, he's a good leader to have on the football field. And again, like you said, Kevin, only a junior.
Yeah. Let's go back to the offensive line because, you know, Chris Gregg's here. I think the game that really was the one that sort of defined your early season performance was Monsignor Donovan, especially in the second half in what was a close ball game. I think they had run a kickback for a touchdown, and and then you guys just took over with the offensive line. They only had a few plays in the entire second half. I mean, did you feel like the game was on your back, and do you like being in that position where the confidence of the coaches is, let's run the ball because the guys up front will get it done?
It's a great feeling knowing you could run the ball down somebody's throat and you can run up the clock and doing it. You know, we had some time to waste on the clock, and we kept getting first down, so there was no reason to do anything other than run the ball.
Robbie, talk about the addition of Manny Bowen. who came in this year as a junior. He allows you, he's got outstanding speed. I saw him in a couple of scrimmages when you played Manasquan and forget the other school. But he gives you the ability to stretch the field with his outstanding speed, and Erskine could get the ball to him. So he's a nice threat to have when you need him.
Yeah, we didn't use him in the 7-on-7s.
Right.
And why? Because we have some good kids that demanded it, good program players that we have on our program. Adding him to the mix, he just had to blend in with the team, and we have good character kids around in our program. They've taken him under their wing, and he's an outstanding athlete, which is definitely a playmaker for us on both sides of the ball.
Greg, talk about the running back, A.J. Opry, right? Nice to have somebody that could hit those holes that you guys open up.
You know, A.J.'s not a shake-and-bait kind of guy. He'll run you right over, so you better put your shoulder down on him. He runs hard, and he knows what he's doing. He's a good running back.
Talking with Greg Moran from Barnegat High School and his head coach, Robbie Davis. Greg, I mentioned in the introduction that you had sort of gotten a position switch this year. You're a middle linebacker. You look like a middle linebacker. You're built like a middle linebacker. You're an all-division player last year. Tell us how it came down that your position was moved. Was that a, hey, would you do this? Or was that a, hey, guess what, Greg? Tomorrow at practice, you're lining up at the end.
No, the first two games I played middle linebacker.
Right.
I wasn't playing my best football there. You know, I came off a leg injury last year, but wasn't playing my best football at linebacker. So coach said, hey, how would you feel if we go and play some D-end? And I was ready to do anything that made the team better.
How different is it for you?
I played the line my sophomore year.
Okay.
So I know what it's like to be down in the dirt. I have no problem doing it as long as I'm getting some plays.
You had a pretty significant leg injury, I believe, last year, right?
I did.
Knee?
No, my fibula. I broke my fibula.
Okay. And I believe you're also a wrestler.
I am.
A pretty good one. And you actually missed the entire season, right?
Yep. Missed the whole season.
Will you wrestle this year?
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah.
No, worried about football.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you 100% recovered from that, would you say?
Oh, I'm ready to go. I'm not bothering me at all anymore.
That's good to hear.
Tough one next week. You got probably the team that, you know will be the toughest for you in the B-South, in Central Regional. Tell us how you handled this bye week. And you've got basically 2 weeks to prepare for this team.
Well, first of all, I thought going into this year the B-South was very level. I thought any team could beat any team, and that goes for the other three teams we still got to play. Central's very athletic. Willie Jacobs is doing an outstanding job with those guys. He's got them playing real hard with a lot of confidence. It's going to be a big game for them, too. So we know we got our work cut out for us, but, we're looking forward to having it on our home field for our homecoming. And and take it with that.
How did you handle the bye?
I gave the kids 2 days off. This kid made him practice last two days.
So under the supervision of the captains?
Yeah, the kids like me. They don't like Greg right now. But we practiced inside for the inclement weather, and we're probably going to do that again tomorrow, and then regroup, give them the weekend off, and start back on Monday. Hopefully, we put some gas in the tank and go for a good stretch run.
You know, I remember the days when I was coaching. Sometimes you have too much time to prepare for a team. You don't want to get stale.
Yeah, you're right. Yep. So, that's what we did. We got to make sure that we're rested and we're healed up and just getting ready for a good football team and a good stretch run, because the next four games are going to be a war for us. You know, we're in a different predicament right now. We're not used to being 4-0.
You're the hunted now.
Yeah, so we can't sneak up on anybody anymore.
By the way, the Central at Barnegat game next Friday night, we will broadcast that game. That'll be our Sunday's recycling game of the week on 105.7 The Hawk. Really looking forward to being down there. I know it's going to be a good night because John Germano, the athletic director, already reached out to me to ask what we wanted on our pizza. All right, so that's an AD working well in advance. I told him plain.
Always look forward to going to Barnegat.
John does a great job. If you go to our games, the atmosphere is tremendous.
Yes. Oh, we love it down there.
Johnny Germano, my AD, I couldn't ask for a better AD. Does a great job with promoting Barnegat athletics, and he does a great job with that. So I'm real proud to be working for a good guy like that.
But I want to jump back to the game for a second, because while I think we all expected you to be in this position, I think Central's a little bit of a surprise. You know, new coach. New head coach, had never been a head coach before. And, you know, by his own admission, had to change some of the culture there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, loses their opener to Toms River South. But I think surprised. We did that game, and we were very impressed with the way they didn't quit. He's got playmakers.
Yeah.
They have guys who can really get down the field. You know, so
very impressed with Drumright, their quarterback. Drumright,
boy, how much has he improved from last year?
I always thought he was a good quarterback. He throwing the ball real well. They have their wide receiver Akers, and they're running. Their skill kids are tremendous. Very well coached, like I said, and you know it's going to be a hard fought game. Hopefully, we come up on top.
You don't have anything else?
No, I just looked at the clock.
Well,
and said, you know, we got to.
Well, our next people aren't here, so
that is correct. That's right. So let's keep
that.
Robbie on another half hour.
I kind of want to try and look at the whole picture. Look, we do this every week. Every coach looks at 1 week at a time.
Yeah.
And even if the player wants to look ahead, the coach sitting next to him always tells him 1 week at a time, so nobody thinks down. But you have got to have aspirations that this is a very good season. And I know we're halfway through or less than halfway through, and I know you're not worried about those other games now, but the big picture is that you probably feel that this could be a championship ball club.
Well, our goal every year is to win a conference championship, qualify for the playoffs, and then we make the playoffs, see how far we can go.
Now, you have never won B-South by yourself, have you?
Yeah, we did 2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, what happens in the playoffs? I mean, last year we were up 17-0, and the best thing for our team this year, because we were so young, is we walked off our own field with an 18-17 loss, five turnovers, and we could have made it to the state semis for 3 years in a row. So that really kind of made our kids go after it, and that feeling hasn't left us. And we remind them that don't take anything for granted. 17-0, and with 30 seconds left in the half, they score a touchdown at the end and beat us 18-17. So,
who was that, Robbie?
Bridgeton.
Okay.
So, and you know, we can't take things for granted. We got to go after it.
And Greg, for you know, I always say the coach always has the next year, you know, but the senior doesn't have the next year. So for you, it's a matter of, I guess, a little unfinished business this year. And I'm sure you'd like to play into the first weekend in December.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, don't have next season, but I feel like if we're going to do something, it's definitely with this group of guys. We got good kids. We're the tightest team I've ever been on, and we're putting in the work, and we're ready to win a championship.
How important is the locker room for a high school football team? I mean, guys, meshing.
If you don't know the kids that you're playing with, you know, you're not going to, out on the field, you know, you got his back, he got yours. So I think it's a matter of family, too, that you throw that word around a lot. We definitely are a family.
Whew, impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah, you handled yourself very well.
Very, very impressive.
I know you said you're not thinking even about wrestling, but how about next year? Would you like to? Are you planning on going to school? Would you like to try and play football if you can? Or
all the opportunities are open.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'm ready. I'll take in all windows. You know, whatever happens. I'm not sure yet, though.
Okay. Robbie, you obviously chose him to be with you tonight for some reasons. Tell us a little bit about.
The hurricane. When our first day of practice, when we came back, he was carried off the field, broke his ankle. And, you know, as a coach, you hate doing that, especially in a practice. And to see him go after it in the offseason, not being able to wrestle, because I think he had a good shot at going pretty far wrestling, and seeing where he was, keeping positive, still being a leader, and still had to take care of his own business, that's a success story right here. And we moved him to DN because we thought we had a pretty good kid that we put in place, Tyler McGinnis, a junior, and the mesh has been pretty good. So the last two games were excited. This guy took on the role of being a DN as a team player, and, you know, we're where we're at because of this guy.
You know, like any program, Rob, your assistant coaches are so important. Mention some of those guys, especially your D coordinator.
Yep. Very fortunate that they've been with me for the long haul. My D coordinator, Kevin Smith, my defensive back coach, Dave Smith, my D-line coach, Greg Orvitz, and Mike Burke, who's also my running back linebacker coach. Chris Clerico is my run game coordinator. Mike Leone's my O-line coach. Did I forget anybody?
I don't think so.
No. And Greg Moran is my guy who calls the plays.
How about the head grounds crew?
Yeah. Oh, Bob.
Yeah. I mean, he does it the best awesome. Grass field in the shore.
Yeah, Bobby. Yeah, he tells me all the time. Bobby,
I know.
So
that's what we say too.
Yeah, we got a good staff that loves to be around the kids, and it makes my job a lot easier.
You didn't mention him. Go ahead.
Bobby Osborne.
Bobby Osborne. Yeah.
Mike Burke, my old high school teammate. Yeah. Much older than me. I was very young. But Stoney, that was his nickname in high school.
There you go.
Heck of a guy. Well, listen, it's, happy for your success. We're really looking forward to being down there next Friday. I think, you know, it's obvious that while you don't want to say it, that there's some unfinished business, and you guys would like to be playing as late into the season as possible, right?
Yeah.
No doubt about that one.
Could be a very special year for the Bengals.
We will see. We'll look forward to seeing you next Friday night. Thanks so much for coming down tonight, guys. Enjoy the bye this weekend. I'm sure you'll be out scouting, right? Where are you going this weekend?
Well, we got to see what games are going on.
Oh, it's okay, yeah.
So, you know, we'll see.
I do want to ask you one quick thing. Have you started looking at any of the teams regarding the playoffs in your bracket, or you haven't worried about that yet?
Honestly, no, we haven't. Yeah. No, we haven't.
Okay.
A little early.
All right.
I hope we make the playoffs.
You just check records. That's
all.
Yeah.
All
right, fellas, thanks so much for coming down. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more of the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk. And welcome back on a Thursday evening here at the Water Street Grill in downtown Toms River. Great, by the way, great sports night tonight coming up. If you're a sports fan, besides this, I mean, you've got Rutgers, Louisville, you've got Giants, Bears, you've got Game 5 of the American League Division Series. So chock full of information. We stalled a couple of minutes as we talked about the Barnegat Bengals to wait for our next guest, and he is the head coach of the Manalapan Braves. Team off to a very strong 3-0 start with a big one tomorrow night, hopefully, when they host the Jackson Jaguars. And, of course, I'm talking about Ed Guerrieri. Coach, good to see you. I know it was a long journey down here.
That's the first thing he said to me, Kev. It's a long way from Manalapan. Saeed is on his way, too.
Okay.
He's behind him.
How are you, Coach?
Everything's great.
Good to see you. Good to see
you guys.
First of all, let me ask you, you're planning on playing tomorrow night?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. So
unless the weather
really gets bad, right?
Yeah. We're going to give it a shot.
What'd you do today, Coach? Inside?
Actually, no. We were fine.
You were out.
We were fine. We were outside.
Good.
You know, so it hadn't rained in Manalapan. We got it in. And as we were getting off the field, it just started raining.
Guys like to stay on their schedules, right? That's one of the reasons why coaches hate moving games, because you have a schedule, you build up till Friday night. If you got to put it to Saturday, it alters not only that week, but the following week.
Absolutely. And tomorrow's game was actually moved from the first game of the
year.
And you know, we never thought we moved that game that we would have this system that's coming in tomorrow be a factor.
Who do you think that helped? Jackson, yourself, having that first game canceled?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't even thought about it. I know one thing.
Was the team disappointed, first of
all? Our guys wanted to play.
Yeah.
Our guys wanted to play. We always want to play. We wanted to wait it out as long as we could, but we went up and down.
It was lightning, right?
Three or four times, and every time you have lightning, it's another half-hour wait.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's only so many times you could warm your team up, bring them back in the locker room, bring them back out again. So there was no rain. The field was great.
Right. That's crazy.
It was the lightning, and they said it wasn't going to let up.
And it didn't, really, that night. I mean, the lightning was all around that opening night, and unfortunately it was, you know, at Manalapan, it was bad.
It was there, that's for sure.
You're coming off a big win last week against Middletown South, a team whose number you've had the last couple of years, but I'm sure a program you have tremendous respect for in your division, Class A North. It had to be good to get through that one with the win you did.
Yeah, absolutely. We respect South and all their accomplishments. It's a great program. They have a group of extremely tough kids, very athletic, and a great coaching staff that's been together for a long time.
You know, before he gets here, and Saeed is on his way, right? Okay, he's calling him. Go on. We'll let you answer it. Go on. Saeed Blacknall, his outstanding wide receiver, has committed to Rutgers verbally, and of course he could always change his mind. I don't think he will, but Ed, tell us a little bit about Saeed before he gets here. What kind of player is he?
Well,
by the way, you're like me. I'm the same way with the reading glasses, right? We gotta look at the phone to read them, put them down.
I'm all
sign of age.
He's the kind of kid when all of this started happening and it became apparent that he was going to become a national recruit. And he enjoyed the process. He loved that, you know, Ohio State was in our building and Alabama was in our building. But he also made it clear. He said, Coach, my only concern, my number one goal is we want to win a state championship. We've been there 2 years in a row. And he just wanted to get out of the way. And I said, listen, Saeed, you don't have to make your decision until signing day. Whatever you want to do, it's fine with everybody. Don't worry about it. He goes, no, I want to get this out of the way. So he took his visits. He saw everything he had to see. And I always knew that him and Coach Flood had a great relationship. And basically, he felt comfortable with Rutgers, and he wanted to have it done before the season started. He wanted no distractions. And I've kind of summarized, that's the kind of kid he is. He's a team player. It's all about the team.
Well, and we'll ask him a little more when he gets here, but let's talk about the team. You know, you mentioned you have done everything you could possibly want to do the last couple of years except one thing, that overall state championship. I think we all thought
right
it was going to happen last year.
I was going to say the school has never won one.
That's
either.
Correct. But you've had this great success. What is it? How many straight A-North games? 17 or 18 Eight, in a row?
18 in a row?
You know,
19 maybe?
19 straight conference games, three straight division championships and all that. How much of a motivation has that elusive title been for your staff, but more importantly, your players?
Well, you know, sitting in Rutgers Stadium last year at the end of the game, our kids were extremely disappointed. Our coaches were disappointed. But I told them the reason why we were so disappointed is because our expectations were so high. Mm-hmm. And I told them, don't ever be afraid to have high expectations. That's what life is all about. Yeah, want to strive for mediocrity and then not be hurt? Okay, you could do that. But we gave them the rest of the December off, the holidays. I told them the sun would come up tomorrow, and it did. And January 2nd, when we came back after vacation, we went back to work. And I told them, this is the way we're going to get back to where we want to be, and that's in the state championship game. We will work hard. We'll work hard on everybody else, and we'll get there, and we'll turn this thing around, and we'll win it. And that's what they believe in. They don't think that they're owed anything, but they think, a quote from Tom Coughlin, they've deserved the right to win,
to be there.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Let go. He's got it. So he's calling him now. We're a little rough around the feathers here tonight. But
it's okay. Let him answer that.
We'll get through. Reminder that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with. You know, he talked about the recruiting process, and Saeed wanted to get it over early. In hour number two, we're going to talk with a guy who didn't get it over early or hasn't gotten it over early in Southern Regional wide receiver Mike Kozicki, who will join us with his dad, Mike Sr., to talk about this whole process, which for him has dragged on a lot longer.
Yeah, just in defense of Saeed, you know, it's not the easiest place to find. When you're not familiar with the area on Water Street. So right now I think I overhear him giving directions, but I guess they couldn't come down together. That would have been obviously the thing to do. But anyway, yeah, I'm interested in he's outside. Very good. You know, in a little while, Mike Kozicki is going to come down and join us and with his dad. And, of course, he's got the decision to make of the three high recruits in the area, Quentin Nelson, mm-hmm. Saeed, and then Mike. You know, two of them have made their decision, Nelson going to Notre Dame and Saeed to Rutgers. You know, I think it's weighing on Kozicki's mind, actually. You know, does it affect his play? Well, when he's taken off every other weekend to go visit Ohio State and Penn State, I think it does take away a little bit. Would you agree?
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. It's daunting.
Right.
You know, in the beginning, everybody loves the romancing, you know. Who wouldn't love to have Urban Meyer come in their building?
Yeah.
When he came into Malvern, he was like a rock star. I had teachers stop teaching, coming out and taking photos with him. It's all over, they're all over Facebook, you know. But I could see it being a little distracting right now with the constant phone calls and the visiting and the texting and everything else. I think that there is an advantage to going early decision and having peace of mind, just being able to concentrate on playing football.
You know, after this Jackson week, of course, we're going to take them one at a time, of course. Every coach is going to tell you that. Then you go out of the area with East Brunswick. But then you come back with a very interesting, under-the-radar Coach Neck team who has yet to give up a point, had scored 74 of them. I mean, this is a team that's got to be reckoned with, and you're going to have them in a couple weeks in the A.
Yeah, we've seen them a couple of times this year in
there
person. They're a very good team, very well coached. But right now I'm only thinking about Jackson tomorrow night.
Exactly. That's another program that's been under the radar, Jackson. I mean, all of a sudden they come out of the chutes, at 3-0. And, tell us a little bit about this Jaguar team.
Well, when you look at this Jackson team, it reminds you of the old days.
The old days.
They have a lot of that Jackson in them, a very, very good defense, and they run the ball. Up front, they're very stout, physical, run to the football, hustle, and offensively they could run the ball very well, and the quarterback is doing a good job of managing the game and getting the ball into the right receiver's hands.
Can you give us a little update on whatever you could tell us on Tyler Leonetti?
Tyler
was injured last week, by the way, early in that football game.
He had he sprained his ankle. The swelling wasn't too bad. And his range of motion was pretty good right from the get-go. And we just took it one day at a time. He went out today in our walkthrough.
Okay.
And he was out there with us. And tomorrow will be a game-time decision.
Here comes the big guy right behind you.
We found it. He was looking for the parking lot.
Hey.
Let me ask you this. Will the weather or the field conditions tomorrow night be any factor in whether Tyler plays, or will it be strictly how he feels at that moment?
Well, once we get him taped up and he's running around in warm-ups and stuff like that, we'll see how he feels, if he's comfortable with it. And he thinks he can go and the trainer thinks he can go, then we'll let him go. If not, we won't put him in harm's way.
Well, joining you to your left across the table from me, a guy who, he was very comfortable putting the headphones on because he's going to be doing a lot of that over the next few years, and that is Saeed Blacknall, the outstanding wide receiver from Manalapan. First of all, thanks for getting here. What time did you leave around? 5?
Yeah. That's hard.
I know. This is not close to Manalapan, right? The short conference is pretty darn big. People won't realize it.
Yeah.
But we do want to ask you a little bit about, Coach talked about that. You were a young man that really was comfortable in making an early decision. How much has that made this senior season enjoyable for you, in which you just right now you're just worried about Manalapan?
Yeah, it made it a lot better for myself and my family and everybody around me. Now I could just focus on Manalapan football.
I'm sure you've been asked 1,000 times, why Rutgers?
Yeah, it's one of those things where a lot of people are confused and they caught him off guard and they're like, why? He got all these choices and anywhere he can go in the country, but why did he stay home? But it's one of those things that I didn't take for granted because it's right down the street from me and I just hung on to it.
Well, let's face it. This Rutgers program is one of the top programs, in the country right now. I mean, they're playing great.
I'll say one thing. They are for producing wide receivers.
Exactly.
It's been unbelievable.
They got a great one now, a first-team All-American in Campbell, that's for sure.
So is that was the fact that so many wide receivers have excelled at Rutgers, playing in the NFL, guys now who will be in the NFL, was that any factor in your decision?
It was a really big factor for me to see a program that's doing it and a program that has been done. And I see what they're doing right now, even going to the Big Ten, and it's continuing to grow.
It's hard to believe in your mind, Coach, also, that in a couple years we're going to be watching this guy on TV playing in, as he said, the Big Ten. What a great story.
Absolutely. We always, we looked at the education, how great Rutgers is. You get a degree from Rutgers, that's pretty, that's a nice piece of paper. And from the get-go, he's always been comfortable with the program, always been comfortable with Kyle Flood. When everybody else was recruiting him and Kyle always stayed in touch. And I think at the end, he felt comfortable with Kyle. He felt comfortable with the program, with the players up there. We have a player up there, Mike Bomonti.
Mm-hmm.
They hired one of our assistant coaches, Cody High, who played for me, was coaching with me. He's up there now as an assistant. So there's a familiarity. It is in the neighborhood. His parents could see all of his home games.
Great.
And like I said, it's a great education.
Saeed, this 2013 Brave team, let's get down to this season right now. Worry about next year in a few months from now. But got to get to the finish line. That's the bottom line, right?
We do. Coach preaches it all the time, just finish everything we do, drills, practice, and games especially. We just got to finish out and just lead the seniors and out in a great way so we can finish this thing up.
Yeah.
Coach talked about the disappointment last year when you fell short at Rutgers and guys were disappointed. Has that been that motivating factor for you since that day in early December, that you want to get back there, but you want a different result? You want to be celebrating at the end?
Yeah, we haven't felt the winning part of it, the winning solution of it, but we felt the pain after losing those championships twice in a row, because I was there sophomore and junior year. But we never want to have that feeling again, and we definitely want to get back to the big dance and finish this time.
Your numbers right now maybe are not what some people would have expected, but you guys had a battle for your quarterback in the preseason, right? Comfortable now with the quarterback? Have you guys gotten on the same page? It takes a little time, right, for a receiver and a quarterback to gel?
Yeah, the chemistry between both quarterbacks are really good right now. We just have two great quarterbacks. One can do something the other one can't, and we're just going to use them both as good weapons.
Saeed, mentioned some of your teammates. Tyler, had coming off the injury this week. Mentioned some of your other receivers. And, of course, the spot that you had to fill in this year, Coach, you can also mention this, is your quarterback spot.
Yes, Danny Anarella, he stepped up big time. First year starting varsity, he just adapted really well. And I just told him everything, just stay focused. And, just do everything that Coach tells you to do, and you will be led the right way.
And then you got another one.
Yeah, Charlie Lombana, he came over from Jackson.
Right.
And that was a good move for him. And since we're playing Jackson tomorrow, so it's kind of his debut right now. But adding another person to the roster, which is a great weapon for us, it can only do us good.
Coach says, if the running game is going, we're going to go with the running game. And Tyler Leonetti certainly is a great, outstanding running back. Is it frustrating sometimes not to get the ball outside?
No. I like, because the whole world comes with me sometimes.
Yeah.
And it just leaves holes open for other players just to make plays. And we have a lot of playmakers on our team that a lot of people don't even know about yet.
Right.
Just waiting to spark and just come out. And I like when they double team me, someone's going to be open. When they don't double team me, I'm going to be open. So either way, the offense is going to have a good time.
How much has your role changed as a senior in terms of a leadership role? Different from a year ago?
Yes, definitely different. I'm a captain now. I get to coach the wide receivers, and I still learn a lot from my receivers coach and sometimes other kids younger than me, and this is a great role I have.
You feel as a captain that you sort of have to lead by example too, right, in terms of you got to do all the small things that make teams successful?
Yes, absolutely. It's one of those things I strive on.
Coach, we always like to look ahead. We have to. That's our job, But over the winter, the state's having their meeting. They say, let's drop Sayreville into Central 5, okay? They've been up in North Jersey. Let's drop them to Central 5. We'll make it a little tougher on Jackson. And then you got teams coming out of the woodwork like Monroe, supposed to have their best team they've ever had in their program, right now undefeated. Old Bridge, teams that our area doesn't really hear about, but I'm sure you got one eye on them.
Well, we
somewhat,
we scrimmage Monroe every year,
right?
And
that's
and we played them last year in the playoffs, okay. So we're very familiar with them. And up until last year, we played Old Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
We played them a couple years in a row, so we're very familiar with them, and we've actually been in the playoffs with Old Bridge a few times.
And you also play? You don't play South Brunswick this year, right?
No.
No. Maybe
could,
in the playoffs.
Maybe
yeah,
in the
maybe
playoffs.
In the
we
playoffs.
Would see them in the playoffs.
Of course, they won it last year.
Yeah. So we're very familiar with those Middlesex mm-hmm. teams. I mean, actually, if you look at where Manalpin is, Oldbridge is probably closer to us, and Monroe is right out our back door, really, mm-hmm. than some of the other schools.
Right.
So we're familiar with them. It's a tough division.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to be a tough go, but I think playing short conference football gets us prepared.
Saeed, I would imagine you want to get out of here because you want to watch Rutgers and Louisville a little bit tonight, I'm sure.
It's only 3-0. The defense came up big on the Louisville's
it's
first
on the
drive.
TV right behind you. but if you guys want, you're more than welcome to stay and have something to eat. I know you got a little trip back, but I know we're kind of running a little bit late, but I really appreciate you coming down. We wanted to get a chance to chat with you a little bit, and I got to see you this year in the scrimmage. When you scrimmaged Tom's River South, I came over and watched. You're an exciting player. You handle yourself very well, and I think for Jersey fans, the nice thing is they'll get to see you a lot next week, next season. I just want to let you know I got to show you my loyalties lie. We'll be going at it next year in the Big Ten, my friend, all right? Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Coach, thanks so much. Continued success, and we hope to be at Rutgers in the first week of December when you ring the bell as a state champion.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Ed Guerrieri, Saeed Blacknell from Manalapan High School. We'll take a break. Stumper joins us after this. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk. Hi, welcome back to the Water Street Grill. We just took a great picture of Saeed and Mike Gizicki together, and Scott Stump had a great line. The next time you see them together might be at the NFL draft in New York. But Scott does join us for a couple minutes here. Still coming up, Monmouth coach Kevin Callahan. And, of course, we'll talk with both Mike and his dad about the recruiting process. Stumper, I mean, all kidding aside, you don't get two guys like that in the room the same time often.
Those are the two high-caliber, big-time recruits right there. And I'm sure Saeed is probably getting a word in, the last word in for Rutgers as we speak.
Or he's talking him out of Rutgers because it's another receiver. Listen, you don't want to go there.
Yeah.
You know? But,
you know, we will mention this, though, that when we talked to Mike when we did their game, he said he was very impressed with his visit to Rutgers.
Well, let's save that for when he's on
with us.
Yeah, but
I'm just telling Scott.
Scott, kind of a strange week because we are looking at some weather, and I guess people are wondering more than anything else, well, will we play tomorrow night? Will we not? Hopefully that's not an issue. But we're almost, really, for some teams, we're at the halfway mark. I mean, it's hard to believe it's here. But, you know, a lot of teams have played four games, and eight is really the amount of games they play before the state playoff cutout. So we are at the midway point. So I'll just sort of throw this at you. Give me two or three overachievers, better than we thought, and two or three teams that at this point you'd have to call a bit of a disappointment.
Well, I think, you know, you got Howell with two wins already after a 1-9 season. You have Modern Day Prep, got off to a 3-0 start, best start since 1986. They also only won a game last year. So I think those are two teams that kind of jumped out right away. I mean, Jackson Memorial already 3-0, big game with Manalapan tomorrow night. They were 3-7 last year, so they've already tied their win total. I mean, a team like Brick that you guys talked about earlier, mm-hmm. when they got Carmen Sclafani, I think expectations kind of changed where, yes, they've tied their win total from last year with a 3-1 start, but I don't think that totally surprises people given the amount of talent they have on that team now. And I think, like Ed mentioned early, Toms River South was a team we had some pretty high expectations for, a top-10 level team. They're 2-2 at this point, and they've been right in, you know, the games that they've lost, but that's how cutthroat A South is. You can be in a lot of games, but your record could not be pretty at the end of it. So I think that's another team that they still have a chance, though. There's still some opportunity ahead of them to get right back into the thick of things. You know, I think other than that, you know, teams like a division like a B North, there's just a lot of parity. You know, I think you got a big bunch. I mean, Wall off to a 3-1 start, I believe, after a 2-7-1 season. So you got to look at their improvement, although Long Branch kind of showed them there's still a little way to go for them with a 28-3 win last week.
Yeah, five teams in that B North with 500 or better records. You know, only the A South has some better programs in there. But, yeah, you know, to me it's been kind of a strange year because, you know, I was very high on Toms River South. Just don't understand how that second half could be such a problem for them.
Well, I think from what I've seen is they get worn out up front. It seems like
a lot of people going both
ways. You know,
ways.
Like in the Brick game, they just wore them down up front with the running game in the second half. And I think defensively that's been the thing. When they really need stops in the second half to get the ball back to that explosive offense, they haven't been able to come up with them. So that's an area they really need to. And I think getting Russell Messler back full-time from his knee injury, he was only kicking in their last game. I mean, he's a very key cog on that defense at linebacker. So I think once he gets back into the fold, maybe that'll really help change things.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's been a big loss for them for sure. You know, we only touched on a little bit Colts Neck. Okay, Colts Neck is 4-0. I know they really haven't played anyone yet, but 4-0 is 4-0. The numbers are gaudy. They would be what stands in the way of Manalapan winning a fourth straight A North title. Can they play with them?
Well, last year they were beating Manalapan at halftime, you know, so they've shown they can go toe-to-toe with them. And I mean, when you have Anthony Gargiulo in your backfield, you're always going to have a chance. I think The big thing will be, you know, their quarterback, Christian Sanchez. Mm-hmm. Can he make plays under duress because Manalpin's going to bring pressure?
Like Campbell did last year. I saw that game, and Campbell really kept them in that
game. Right, and that's the thing. Can their passing game make enough plays to keep mm-hmm. moving the chains? Because it's hard to just line up against Manalpin and run downhill with the same running back and win, even as one as talented as Anthony Gargiulo. And defensively, you know, can they stop Manalpin's run game cold? Last year, they did a tremendous job against Firkser and Blacknall mm-hmm. in that game, but the run game was just, you know, just a little bit better, grinded them enough to allow Manalpin to get the win. And Colts' next defense is tremendous. I mean, Gargiulo is also a standout linebacker, DN. Nick Volpe is a tremendous player. You know, they have a good secondary. So the other thing, though, is can you go up 10 notches like that? I mean, I believe they play Middletown South before them, right?
Yes.
So that at least helps. You're going to see a team like that before. It's hard to go from playing these winless teams to going up 10 notches in competition in a week later. So I think that also should help prepare them because obviously South's going to give them a real battle. South lost them in the regular season last year before beating them in the playoffs. So that's become a nice little rivalry game between those two.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think what Manalapan did to Middletown South in the second half last week really opened some eyes to all their future opponents.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Just one other thing. You know, we don't mention that much about them each week, but what do you say about Red Bank Catholic?
I wrote a little something in the top 10 column this mm-hmm. week about how there's been a lot of talk about their schedule.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
that them beating Raritan 63-7 is not helping Raritan or them, you know. How are they going to prepare themselves for the number one team in the state, St. Joe's Montvale, nationally ranked, by playing Group 2 schools and group? But the only problem is, you know, from as I understand it, if they tried to break away from the Shore Conference and play their own schedule, they would have to do that across all sports. So it wouldn't just be football from RBC that suddenly had to play an independent schedule,
right,
so to speak. So I think my suggestion was maybe give them some leeway with their non-division games. If you want to go play Bergen Catholic or Don Bosco instead of Freehold Borough and, you know, Red Bank Regional, you should be allowed maybe the flexibility to schedule those games.
Well, you know, that happens all the time with the non-publics, but how did a team like Allentown get to go out to Utah to play a non-conference game? So it's possible.
Right. I think that's the thing. Because you're starting to hear more and more grumbling from the public side, too.
Yeah,
we shouldn't even be playing
these guys.
You are
hearing a lot of it now.
You know, this shouldn't even be happening, Group 2 or Group 3 team. Like, they're saying if RBC's going to play anybody from the Shore, it should be Manalapan and Southern and
right.
the Toms Rivers and the Group 4s and Group 5s and Middle. You know, because – and I think RBC, talking to their kids, they want to play the best. Hey,
if you told
them they could line up tomorrow and play St. Peter's or – any of these schools, they would absolutely do it. And I think that's they might be need to give them some leeway to schedule those big-time games because it is so hard to go from the schedule they're playing to suddenly playing St. Joe's Montvale on the road. I saw that game last year. I mean, they're on such another level speed-wise and strength-wise that if you haven't seen that, there's no way you can simulate it.
That's Scott Stump from ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Of course, you can read his stuff all the time. Let's make the quick transition because on the phone, of course, we have the head coach of the surging Monmouth Hawks, and that is Coach Kevin Callahan. Coach, good evening. I'll let you know that Matt has the evening off. We let him take his wife out to dinner, so it's Ed and I, and it's nice to be talking to you, riding a three-game winning streak heading to St. Francis on Saturday.
Well, guys, thanks for having me out. It is nice, you know. I think, you know, we've starting to come along a little bit. We're creating an identity for ourselves as a team, and, you know, we just got to keep it going this week.
You know, what I really was impressed with in your 35-9 win over Robert Morris this past Saturday at Kessler Field was you really were able to get Neil Sterling in the offense early, three touchdown passes in the first half. He was tremendous. And then in the second half, when the Colonials paid a little attention to him, you really unleashed that ground attack. And for the incredibly, for the fourth straight game, Julian Hayes and KB Asante go over 100 yards.
Well, you're right, Kevin. It was great to get Neil. You know, he's a local guy from Manasquan High School, you know, and he's done great things for us here. And, you know, we hit some explosive plays to him in the first half, and he made some phenomenal catches. But one of the things that our team really believes in right now is our ability to wear teams down in the second half. And when you have two guys like we do in KB Asante and Julian Hayes who can pound away behind a very good offensive line, it just kind of demoralizes teams in the second half. And that's what we've done the last 3 weeks.
Coach, this St. Francis team comes in at 1-4, but probably have one of the top running backs you're going to see this year. This kid, Kyle Harbridge, has run for almost 1,000 yards in 5 games so far. Tell us a little bit about him and St. Francis.
Well, he's a great football player. And, you know, St. Francis is a team that runs the ball extremely well. We've had difficulty in the last 2 years even slowing them down. In 2011, they rushed for over 300 yards against us. Last year, over 230 yards. He's a guy that, as you said, he's got almost 1,000 yards in 5 games against good competition.
Yeah.
They played nationally ranked Georgia Southern. They played James Madison, who's nationally ranked. They played Fordham, who's nationally ranked. And in the Fordham game, he went for 291 yards on 29 carries. The run is something that we have to stop, and it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, you've been happy with the defense the last few weeks, and why not? I mean, after giving up 42, 45, and 28 the first 3 games, you've given up 14, 14, and 9. So clearly the defense has stepped up.
We're getting better. We're coming along. We're not exactly where we need to be yet, but it's a unit that's growing and improving each week, and you know, we've just got to continue moving in that direction. They've got a lot of confidence right now. We have a stiff challenge this week, and as you said, Kyle Harbridge, but as long as we keep getting better, you know, I think we'll make progress.
You know, I do want to mention a couple things kind of off the beaten track a little bit, but being in the press box last week and doing the PA announcing, you know, great to see Jose Gums, the outstanding safety who was in your program, who's now playing with the Washington Redskins. He was on his bye week, so he was there. And as a matter of fact, he did the halftime interview with Matt Harmon and Eddie Iacopinti. And, you know, to have a young man like that on his bye week come back and catch one of your games, it's got to mean something to the players in the program.
It does, Kevin. It's really special, and Jose's one of three players that we have in the NFL right now, the other two being obviously Miles Austin with the Dallas Cowboys and Chris Hogan with the Buffalo Bills. But I had a chance to sit down on Thursday afternoon with Jose when he came by the office, and, you know, I'm so happy for him that he's enjoying what he's doing. He's playing in the National Football League, and he really believes that he's going to be activated for this week's game against the Dallas Cowboys. And what could be better than have him and Miles on the field at the same time?
You know, and he is such a great story. I mean, what he had to overcome, you know, just to get to Monmouth and all of that, and a guy you have to root for. But at the other end of the spectrum, really one of the great success stories is this Chris Hogan you mentioned, who came to you, correct me if I'm wrong, as a transfer student from Penn State where he had played lacrosse.
Right, four-year graduate.
Had 1 year of eligibility. Opened up a lot of eyes with NFL guys, and is with the Buffalo Bills, and last week caught his first NFL pass.
I know. And, you know, Chris, as you said, Kevin, it's a great story. And, of course, you're going to know it, him coming from Penn State. But, he,
okay.
You know, he played lacrosse there for 4 years. He was somebody that we recruited out of high school but signed early on a lacrosse scholarship. Then his senior football year kind of exploded, but he had already committed to go to Penn State for lacrosse. Contacted us because he had a number of friends on our team from Bergen County, came and played the one season, played some receiver. We actually played them both ways for most of the season. Caught the eyes of the NFL scouts, and as you guys know, he went down to the Miami Dolphins at first and was a big part of the show Hard Knocks when they, you know, nicknamed him 7-11 because he was always open. And then, you know, he was with the Jets for a little while last season and, you know, finally found a home with the Buffalo Bills, and it's just great to see him on the field having success, catching passes, and he's one of the regulars now.
Well, there are a lot of Division I programs that don't have three guys, big-time Division I programs, don't have three guys in the NFL. You do right now. And what you also have is a 3-game winning streak. You'll be in Loretto, Pennsylvania on Saturday, a noon kickoff. Of course, you can hear it on 1160 and 1310 a.m. and streaming live at shoresportsnetwork.com. And let's try and get 4 straight and then come home against Cornell with a winning record because it's been quite a turnaround, Coach.
Well, I appreciate it, guys, and that's what we're going for. We need to get 4 in a row.
Thanks so much, Coach Cal. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
All right, there's Coach Kevin Callahan. You can also hear him every Tuesday night, by the way. He has his own show along with Matt at 7 o'clock on 1160 and 1310. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk with a young man we've mentioned quite a bit and discuss the recruiting process, which is coming to an end for Mike Izicki and his family. We'll do that right after this. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk. Welcome back. Baker's Water Street Grill on a Thursday night. Kevin Williams and Ed Sarluka. We gave Matt Harmon the evening off. Tom Tremblay here. Ray Malaspina back at the studios of 105.7 The Hawk. Coming up, of course, our Big 7 football picks at the end of tonight's show. But really a segment I was really looking forward to doing, and I'm glad we're able to work it out. And that is, we mentioned a lot with Saeed about the recruiting process. Saeed Blacknall from Manalapan, who committed before the season to Rutgers. And we're joined now by Mike Izicki, the outstanding wide receiver slash tight end for the Southern Regional Rams, a 6'6" senior. And in his dad, Mike Sr., who is a former Ram player as well. And you guys are sort of at the end of the line, almost been on a process that's been a couple of years. And Junior, we'll kind of start with you first. And that is what we have heard is that you are visiting, you're making an official visit to Penn State this weekend for the Michigan game homecoming. By the way, I'll be there. If you need anything, give me a call. And and then I think after that, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're going to kind of sit back with the family and kind of go through it all.
That's right. I mean, this whole recruiting process has been a situation that, you know, I've been blessed to be put into. And I'm so thankful for, you know, everybody that I've met and all the people I've met and, you know, the schools that I've visited from Yale to Ohio State. I mean, you just seen all the aspects of it, you know, from academics to the football to the people to the family-type atmosphere. I mean, I've seen everything and anything that, you know, I really need to see. You know, this weekend I'm taking my official visit to Penn State. I've already taken my official visit to Ohio State. And then, you know, next week will kind of just be a week, you know, where, yeah, my family's going to be involved in it. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, you know, my family's not playing football in college. You know, I'm playing football in college. So, I mean, it's really going to come down to, you know, where I see myself, you know, being the most successful and also, you know, happy enough to, you know, spend 4 and 5 years at a place and, you know, call it my home for the next 45 years.
Let me just ask him this. Do I take anything into the fact you're wearing an Ohio State shirt tonight?
Not at all, because I'll be wearing a Penn State shirt on Saturday.
Okay, so. Okay, good. All right, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask, you get 5 official visits,
right?
Correct?
Yes.
Can you tell us the other 3 officially? I know you visited other schools on your own.
Right.
But the other 3 official visits?
I will not be taking all 5. I'm only taking the 2. I'm only taking
the 2. So you only took 2 officials.
Right. I took a bunch of unofficials. I mean, this summer I started off going to Ohio State. I've been to Ohio State. I've been to the University of Miami, Florida State, Wisconsin, Duke, Penn State. I've been to, I mean,
Rutgers, obviously.
I've been to Rutgers. I've been to Yale. I've been to Duke. I've been to Auburn. I've been everywhere and anywhere. I mean, I sometimes even forget them just because, you know, I've been put in a situation where, you know, my dad's an airline pilot. So, I mean, I'm able to fly around and, you know, get around and transport that easily where I can go and, you know, coach calls me on Tuesday and says, hey, can you come out, you know, for a one-day visit on a Thursday? I say, yeah, you know, hey, Dad, can we go out? And he, of course. So, I mean, my dad's been very understanding, and, you know, he's been a great mentor for me throughout this whole entire process, you know, always being there and always traveling with me. And, you know, we've had a good time throughout this process. I mean, from we were supposed to go to Wisconsin on an unofficial visit last year in the springtime, and, you know, flight got canceled, so we ended up flying to Buffalo, trying to connect to Madison, end up getting stuck in Buffalo and having to drive back to New Jersey in a rental car. So, I mean, we've been through everything and anything in this process. I mean, it's kind of a relief to say it's coming to an end, but, I mean, I really enjoyed every single second of it.
Dad.
Yes.
2 things I got. First of all, I got to get to a wedding in California. Can you help me out in December? And number 2, what's your process in this, and where do you sit?
Well, my process is just to show Mike everything that's available to him and kind of tell him what I think he should do. It's his process. I can't will what I want on him because it would be a failure if he didn't like it. And he's just doing it on his own, really.
One more, Kevin, for Dad. Do you have a special place in mind? Not, you don't have to tell us what, but do you have one school in particular I'd say, boy, I hope he picks that one? And you don't have to tell us which one.
Yes.
You do. You have a favorite. Okay,
oh,
that's
yeah.
good.
Would I be happier? I got more comments on Twitter today about people said I was going to be driving them. I was going to lock them up for the weekend. But all kidding aside, has it been enjoyable or stressful or a little bit of everything?
It's been the greatest thing in the world.
Really?
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, the time that we've spent together and the bonding that we've done is just incredible.
Because you'll never have it again.
No. I would wish it so that anybody could experience it and everybody could experience it. I mean, even if you just have to drive in the car together, like you just said, for 8 hours. We drove for 8 hours back from Buffalo, and that's all we do is talk. Usually we get in the car and we go someplace and he falls asleep.
Yeah.
You know, but this time was great.
You know, Mike, I one of the things I read and I thought was very interesting, your visit to Duke, you didn't just meet the football coach. You got a chance to talk to Coach K, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that was also another great experience, just another part of this whole recruiting process. Like I said, you know, the people that I've met throughout this whole entire process, I mean, only so many people can say, you know, I sat down and met Urban Meyer, Bill O'Brien, Mike Krzyzewski, you know, even Coach Cutt, you know, coaching both the Manning brothers in college. I mean, all these great people, you know, have kind of not only made me a better athlete, but I mean also a better person, you know, being able to sit down and, you know, really understand, you know, that this whole recruiting process isn't really just about, you know, picking a college or picking a school to go to. I mean, it's really about growing up and being able to, you know, sit down and think to yourself, you know, college isn't just a 4-year decision. I mean, this is a 40-year decision. I mean, I'm sitting there at this basketball practice and I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, I mean, I'm watching, you know, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, basketball coach of all time, you know, coaching Duke basketball. I mean, I would have never expected myself to be put in this situation. And I mean, and just because, you know, I'm capable of catching a football the way I can do it, I've been able to put in this situation. So I mean, I've been, like I said, I mean, I'm already thankful and, you know, so blessed to be put in this situation.
But he's not just capable of catching a football, and that's kind of where I want to go. You're also capable of shooting a basketball, spiking a volleyball. Mm-hmm. At any point, were those other sports factors for you, either going to a school for that on its own or trying to go to a school which would allow you to do two of them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've definitely looked into it. When I was at, you know, the University of Miami, before I even met anybody that had to do with football, you know, I sat down with the head basketball coach at the University of Miami. I got a few minor scholarship, I got a few full scholarship offers to play, you know, small Patriot League schools and different things like that, just strictly for basketball. You know, before even the football recruiting process started, I was being recruited to play basketball at University of New Hampshire, you know, Rutgers. I mean, it's different schools like that, you know, that I heard from. And then, you know, when football kind of came about, then other schools, you know, like Duke, threw that in there. You know, if you come here, you know, you can play basketball too. And I mean, and they weren't lying when I sat down and talked to Coach K. I mean, even if it was only 10 minutes, I mean, it's still
Duke.
Coach K.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's definitely something that I've looked into. I think it would be a whole lot on a college student athlete, just because, I mean, the first thing first is you're the student before you're the athlete. I mean, you're not playing on, you know, Saturdays if you're not getting the grades Monday through Friday. So I mean, that's kind of where I'm at in this whole situation. I have looked at playing basketball. You know, Penn State wrote me a letter, you know, the volleyball coach, and said, hey, if you're interested in playing volleyball, you know, give us a call. You know, I said, thank you for the opportunity, but I mean, I don't really see myself playing volleyball after, you know, my senior spring. So I mean, I think I'm just gonna play football in college, which is difficult for me because I mean, I'm in love with the sport of basketball. I've been playing it since I was, you know, 2 years old, but you know, when both my sisters got into it. And so I mean, I will just play football, but I mean, basketball was something that, you know, it was definitely up there with a factor.
How important are the academics of the particular school you're going to?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's
and what do you want to study? Do you have something in mind?
I mean, I'm not set on it, but I mean, I have looked into communications and sports nutrition, kind of getting both aspects of it. But the academic part is something that I really looked into. I mean, if not, you know, I wouldn't have visited, you know, Yale. I mean, one of the
or Duke,
Duke. I mean, two phenomenal academic schools, because just like I said, you know, college isn't just a 4-year decision; it is a 40-year decision. I mean, so it's not. Football, you can't play football for the rest of your life. You know, you will live the rest of your life, but you can't play football. So I mean, when I'm done playing football, hopefully I go to the NFL. You know, I live out my dream and I do everything that I expect myself to do. And you know, I'm done playing football at, you know, 30, 33, somewhere around there, if I'm blessed enough to have that, you know, the health and, you know, the success in that next level, then, you know, I'm 33 years old, and what am I going to do? I'm not just going to go home and sit on my couch and say, hey, I made millions of dollars. I mean, you can't do that. So, I mean, I'm gonna take that degree. I mean, that's why, you know, Ohio State, phenomenal degree. Penn State, phenomenal degree. You know, the other schools I looked at, Duke, Rutgers, I mean, the University of Miami, phenomenal degrees. So, I mean, I could take those degrees and, you know, go down and say, you know what, yeah, I graduated from here and I played football here. I mean, so that's just somewhere that could help me get a job later down the road.
The other important factor that has to come into your decision is the position you will play in college. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say you're the Garrett Graham of 2013, a wide receiver in high school and a tight end, you know, in the pros. Mm-hmm. Where do you want to play, and will that factor into your decision?
It's funny, you know, a lot of every single school, you know, besides Rutgers, has seen me as a tight end. I mean, it's funny, you know, I was sitting in class today, and I get a text message, hey, you know, you just got ranked the number one tight end in the nation by 24/7 Sports. I was like, oh, wow. You know, it's funny because
I'm not a tight end.
I have never, ever taken a snap at tight end. I mean, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, you're a tight end. When I was at Wisconsin, you know, Coach Gary Anderson sat me down. He said, you know, you're not a tight end. You're not a wide receiver. You're a big athlete. You know, you're a big guy that can go out and make plays. And, you know, Coach Cutt from Duke said, you know, you're a big wide receiver with the potential to block. Coach Meyer, you know, he tells me all the time, you know, you will be able to make plays, you know, in the passing game. And, you know, I'm going to teach you how to block, too. So, I mean, it's kind of – I think I'll be able to play Division I wide receiver. I think I'll be able to play Division I tight end. I think I'll be able to do it just because, you know, I wouldn't let myself fail. And, you know, I see myself wherever I go, whether I'm split out, whether I'm in a slot in the backfield or with my hand in the dirt. I mean, I think I'll be able to make plays, and, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. As long as I'm able to make plays and, you know, help out the team, that's all I care about.
Talking with Mike Kozicki of Southern Regional High School and his dad, Mike Sr. Dad, what has impressed you the most about the way Mike has handled this whole thing?
Well, I think just the way he does handle it, because he doesn't go out and brag about it. He's not boastful. He won't tell anybody what's going on. His friends ask him all the time. You know, like, mm-hmm. They'll come over and there'll be letters sitting on the counter and they're like, open it up. And he's like, no, I can't open it. You know, he just doesn't want anybody to know what's going on. I mean, he's handled it great.
How about Coach Donahue? What kind of factor has he been?
Oh, Coach is you know, he's put. I talk to him all the time. You know, you know, sometimes we have our differences, and sometimes, you know, we agree on everything. But I mean, Coach has been a phenomenal, you know, guy that be a right hand man throughout this whole situation. He knows everybody and anybody, and I mean, he's been able to get my name out on the market, and he's put so many different people through this process and successfully through this process. You know, I was talking the other day. I said, Coach, you know, how many guys have you coached, you know, in the NFL? I mean, he's sitting there counting. It took him a while, you know, his coach.
Wow.
So, I mean, it took him a while. So, I mean, he's counting, and he gets 10 guys off the top of his head that he has gotten into the NFL. And then, you know, he's sitting there. He says, you know, Glenn will be 11 and you'll be 12. So, I mean, he's been a great guy. I mean, and to coach high school football at the level that he's been able to take teams to the state championship, to be successful, I mean, he's done a great job with it. And, you know, he's also helped me get through this process. And, I mean, not just him, you know, his son, Coach Donahue Jr., has been also phenomenal. You know, I'm in his office every single day, you know, bugging the heck out of him, talking to him. And, I mean, hey, can you write me a pass in my next class? I mean, he's been a great guy throughout this process. I mean, talking to him about this as well.
We only got a couple minutes here. The time is flying. You mentioned Glenn.
Right.
Glenn, of course, is Glenn Carson, the fifth-year senior middle linebacker at Penn State, where you'll be this weekend, who is a Southern Regional grad. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, and to be honest, how much have you talked to him, and what have most of those conversations been like? And I'm wondering for you, Mike Sr., have you talked to Glenn's family at all to get a sense? Because it is one of the schools you're considering, to get a sense of what it's been like for him.
I've talked to Glenn several times throughout this process. You know, he called me less than a week ago just to talk about, you know, my visit coming up this weekend, and if I need anything, you know, give him a call. You know, I'm sure I'll see him. You know, my tour guide is not going to be Glenn. It's going to be Hack. But
okay,
you know, so I'll be around him. But
the quarterback will be thrown to you for the next 4 years. I'm sorry.
Potentially, yeah. I've talked to Glenn, and he's been a great help throughout this process. Just because, you know, I've been able to sit down with a guy that, you know, had 15, 20 scholarship offers of the likes that I had, and, you know, been able to narrow it down to one. And He's been a great, you know, help throughout this process, whether it's the phone calls or when I was up there in August and I was hanging around with him and, you know, all of his teammates. He handled the situation great, and I mean, he's really helped me handle the situation.
And I haven't reached out to the Carsons, but I've spoken with Glenn.
Glenn himself,
yes.
Yeah. He's obviously had a great experience there.
Yeah.
Who's going up this weekend with the visit?
Me, my dad, my mom, and my two best friends, Logan Sheen, our quarterback,
okay.
and Bailey Blissmo, our linebacker. So, I mean, we're always hanging out together, and Bailey's a diehard Penn State fan. Logan goes everywhere with me. So, I mean, we're all going to, you know, bunch up together in the car and head up to Happy Valley.
Tell Bailey not to wear the eye black.
I'm sure he's listening right now. So, hey, Bail, don't wear the eye black.
I told him the game we did, I loved it.
Yeah. It's been exciting, but are you looking forward to it ending?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was driving up here, and you know, you guys were talking to the coach from Manalapan, and you know, you guys saying does it distract the play? You know, is it something that he should have got out of the way earlier? And I mean, I wouldn't say that, you know, this is distracting at all. You know, because once I put on the helmet, you know, I'm not being recruited anymore. I'm playing football, and you know. The reason that I've put it off so long is because right now I still don't know where I'm going, and yeah. you know next weekend when I say I'm going to decide, I still won't know where I'm going until you know I'm sitting there and I'm just like, you know what, I'm going to be you know whatever it is, and you know that's just why, you know, it's such a big decision, and you know I was never ready to say, and you know I'm still never ready to say. And you know that's why you know I'm still sitting here. I'm wearing red right now, but I'll be wearing blue this weekend. And actually, I'll be wearing white. It's a whiteout. So.
It is whiteout. That's correct.
So I mean, am I happy it's coming to an end? Yes, but I mean, in the same sense, I mean, I'm kind of disappointed. I've loved this process. I mean, it has been such a tremendous process. I mean, being able to, you know, go to dinner and have your phone sitting on the table, and you know, oh, my phone's ringing, and you know, it reads Urban Meyer or you know, Bill O'Brien or something like that. I mean, yeah. it's been a very cool process, and I mean, you only get through it one time, so I mean, I was never rushing it.
You're going to have to make calls to coaches to say thanks but no thanks.
Right.
For some guys, they say that's the toughest part.
Oh, definitely. I was just talking to Saeed, and I mean, he was saying, you know, where are you going? When's it going to happen? You know, who are you going to turn down? I mean, I was saying, you know, coach always tells me, Coach Junior always tells me, you know, you can't start a route at, you know, Rutgers and finish it in, you know, Columbus, Ohio for the Buckeyes. So, I mean, you might have 22 scholarship offers. That's great. But you can only go to one place. So, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. And, you know, telling everybody no, because I've built relationships with so many people, whether it's, you know, Coach Brew from Florida State or Coach Carroll from the U. I mean, so many different people that I've built relationships with and great people. I mean, telling them no is going to be difficult. But, I mean, it's just something that, you know, that's the hard life.
The most difficult call for you would be to tell Coach Meyer no, you know. That's going to be tough. If you would like me to do that for you.
Oh, man, I hope he's not listening.
You know, I just got a text. It wasn't from Urban. It was from my wife. That tells you where we are.
Well, listen, I'll be up there this week. If you need anything, give me a call.
You said that already.
I did, okay. There'll be 108,000 people.
Yes, it will
be. It's going to be a whiteout. The weather's going to be a little shaky Saturday. I think we're going to be okay for game time,
okay.
though. And it's a lot closer drive for Logan and Bailey in the future and all your buddies to go.
Hey, guys, you hear that?
The family.
All kidding aside, and we've had fun with it. And I did the same to Carson. I'm telling you, by senior year, Glenn Carson never wanted to see me again because every game, every Southern game we did, Glenn, let me talk to you for a couple minutes. But it's a great position to be in to make that choice. Right. I know you'll make the right one for yourself. I thought the best line, and I've read it from you before, is you're not making a decision for 4 years, but 40 years. And I wish you well in making that decision.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it, and thank you for having me on as well.
All right, Dad.
Kevin.
Enjoy
thank
it.
You.
Enjoy it. Okay.
We're late. Quick.
Yeah, we
check
are late.
Check our picks online.
Check our picks online. We were lousy. I was lousy last week. We're almost the same in all the games this week. Want to really thank our guest tonight.
Great show.
Yeah, terrific. Ed Guerrieri and Saeed Blacknell from Manalapan. Robbie Davis and Greg Moran from Barnegat High School. Of course, our friend Scott Stump from ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Monmouth University coach Kevin Callahan. And, of course, the boys Kazicki, Mike Sr. and son Mike, who's going to be making a big decision.
Going to make some coach very happy in a couple
weeks. He's
going to
make
a
coach, and he's going to make an old guy very happy or very sad. But regardless, thanks to Tom Tremblay, of course, here, Ray Malaspina back at the studios. Have a great football weekend, everyone. You've been listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7, The Hawk.